Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Second hour, Tiki and Tierney here on CBS Sports Radio, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Tiki Barber, Aaron Murray, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. You can get us at Tiki and Tierney, at Aaron Murray, AY11 on Twitter, if you want to tweet at him, because he'll respond to you. I won't, at Tiki Barber. Radio.com is our podcast, or you can stream us also on radio.com. We are in the process of doing our training camp two-a-days. We had the Eagles yesterday. Howard Eskin, that man could talk. Yeah. He could talk.
Two questions and we're done.
I think we literally had two. Maybe we had three. I think the last one was like, hey, Howard, we only got like a minute here. Could you tell us real quickly what the defense is going to look like? And he went up to the exact minute and a half that we had left in the hour. But we're going to get Shaquille Griffin of the Seattle Seahawks on the line to chat about the Seattle Seahawks. Our Tiki and Tierney training camp two-a-day. Shaquille Griffin's going to join us to talk about the Seattle Seahawks.
It's time for the Tiki and Tierney NFL training camp two-a-days as we visit all 32 NFL camps to preview the upcoming season.
Seattle Seahawks, 10-6, second in the NFC West. The Seahawks exceeded all expectations last year despite losing the core of their Legion of Boom defense thanks to the MVP caliber play of Russell Wilson. And man, did he get paid.
You know, really from the beginning of my professional career started here. My goal was to end it here. My goal was to hopefully win a lot of Super Bowls. And I couldn't do it without you guys believing in me. I couldn't do it without my teammates making the difference. And I'm just grateful for this opportunity. You know, I want to be a Seahawk for life.
Twin brothers Shaquem and Shaquille Griffin lead a revamped defense while physical freak DK Metcalf hopes to give Wilson the star wideout he needs now that Doug Baldwin is retired. But has Pete Carroll lost his magic touch on the sideline?
And now we're joined by Shaq Griffin, defensive back for the Seattle Seahawks. Shaq, welcome to the show. Tiki Barber, Aaron Murray, how you doing?
Doing good. Thank you guys for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. I know you just came off the field, so we'll just keep you for a little bit here. I know how that is during training camp. But as the expectations levels go, what is it with the Seattle Seahawks this season? We know where you guys have been, some of the changes that have happened, and where you want to go in the future, where we all want to go in the future, which is to the Super Bowl. Where do you guys feel like you are right now, 2.5 weeks in the training camp?
Oh, right now we're doing great. You know, the goal is always to, you know, take over the whole West. And, you know, that's our goal coming in. And, man, the way we look so far, it's been awesome to see. You know, you got the young guys stepping up in a major way. And you got the guys who are supposed to be leading the defense, leading the offense. They're doing exactly what they're supposed to do to help this team get to where we want to be. And I feel like the best part about that is, like I said before about the young guys, I feel like if we ever have a drop-off, the young guys will be able to, you know, step in and play right away and make a huge impact. You know, everybody's doing great so far in this camp. And, you know, I just feel really comfortable and really confident about where we're at and where we're going.
All right, Shaq, I got to ask you about your twin, because I'm a twin, obviously. My brother was down in Tampa when you guys were coming up. Aaron is from the Tampa area. Your brother joined you last year, Shaquem. He started, I think, one game. How would you evaluate him in his first season out there with you in Seattle?
I definitely give him a B. I feel like you know, he didn't play as much on defense, but the way he took his role in being that special teams, you know, guy, the way he approached the whole year, it was awesome to see. You know, most rookies come in, they start their first game, and if they get, you know, demoted, and they might take it some type of way, and they forget that you should be ready to play any position they need you at. And I feel like when that happened, I feel like he took it like a vet. You know, he knew his role. He understood what exactly he needed to do. And he made major plays on Utrecht's teams. I think he's actually leading the team in tackles. And to be a rookie, to have that vet mentality, it was awesome to see.
Yeah.
He took it like a vet and like a professional. So it was awesome to see him do that.
One of the great stories last year, Shaquille, who we're talking to now, and Shaquem Griffin, twins from Tampa, played together at UCF. And on playing on the same team, something I always wanted to do with my brother, but I never got to do that. Shaquille, Shaq joins us here on Tiki and Tierney's Training Camp Two-A-Days.
Shaq, it's going to be interesting this year. You guys obviously played the Cardinals twice, and you talk about winning that division. And you look at their offense with Kyler Murray. You look at it with Cliff Kingsbury calling the plays. It's almost like you're facing a college offense once again. Have you guys started watching any film on them or talking about it or practicing, or is that we'll figure out when we face those guys week four?
I feel like we haven't been focusing on, you know, right now we're just focusing one game at a time. You know, we're just getting everything prepared, you know, for this next preseason game. And I feel like we're doing a great job at, you know, just worrying about the things that we can control that's coming up. You know, when that time comes, we'll definitely be ready for them. And I feel like the awesome thing that everybody's been, you know, keeping their mind on is, you know, taking it one game at a time. But we're looking forward to all the competition that we get a chance to go against this year. You know, all the great guys and great teams that we're going to see. You know, we look forward to it. We're actually excited to play, you know, against Arizona, you know, and that guy like, you know Murray and everybody he got, you know, surrounded around him. We look forward to games like that. You know, you got to be excited, you know, and be able to compete. So everybody's mindset is a tad bit different this year. You know, we come with that winner mentality, and we feel like no one can beat us. And when you think like that, you practice like that, we gotta believe big. So trust me, we're excited for the season.
Yeah, no, you should be. But it's a general question, and I'm not even talking about the Arizona Cardinals, but you've been in the league now. Well, this is your third camp. So you've been in the league 3 years now, and you've seen traditional NFL style defense, offenses, I should say, and had to play against them and game plan against them and compete against them. Can you think back to when you were in college and you had to play those type of, you know, wide open RPO run, you know, all those type of things that you were going to see now in the NFL? Was it harder to prepare in college, or was it harder to prepare in the NFL?
It probably was a tad bit harder in college. You know, I feel like when those type of games, you know, you go against a spread offense most of the time, and
yep.
I feel like that's their plan that they want to do. You know, the DBs and that back end is going to take a lot more steps than usual. So we got to look forward to that, and we just got to be prepared for it. But I feel like we're not going to change what we do here. You know, we're going to approach it the same way, and we just got to contain, you know, a guy who can, you know, extend plays, who can run around a little bit. You know, we just got to win our one-on-one battles when it comes to, you know, matching up on receivers and that spread offense. And I feel like we can win our one-on-one battles. I feel like we have no problem. Just got to contain him. And but it's been a minute since we got a chance to face one like that, you know, going into my third year. So I get a chance to see that in a minute, but I'm looking forward to it, no doubt about it.
Speaking of elite athletes like Kyler Murray, you guys have one. You drafted one in DK Metcalf. Talk to us about what you've seen so far from him. You saw him in OTAs, and then right now he should feel a little bit more comfortable with this offense. If him and Russell Wilson have a pretty good connection right now?
Yeah, they're connecting well, and I feel like the best thing they did after OTAs was, you know, connect a little bit on that little break that we got. And just to see him grow, you know, he's starting to feel a lot more comfortable. He's confident. He's adjusting. You know, when you come into this league and you're expecting a guy who can play and make an impact right away, you got to be able to adjust faster than others. And he's been doing a great job with that, you know, going against him every day. You know, he's seeing the way I get hands on him, and he's adjusting to it. He's changing his ways and making my weaknesses into his strength. So that's the best part about it, you know, getting a chance to go against him. And, you know, every day I'm trying to make him better, and he's adjusting just fine. So him and Russell is connecting really good, and I'm excited for him this year.
We're talking to Shaq Griffin, Seattle Seahawks cornerback, doing our Tiki and Tierney training camp two-a-days with the Seattle Seahawks. All right, we all know the new PI rule that's confusing and everything else. And but have you guys started to think about how it's going to affect you all, especially as defensive backs, and things that you might have been able to get away with? Now you got to, you know, extra think about trying to get away with it. Is it affecting your preparation for the season so far?
I haven't changed not one thing, you know, when it comes to my game. You know, I'm continue to be aggressive, you know, play the way I'm supposed to play and let them make the tough decisions. You know, when it comes to those calls, you know, it goes, you know, vice versa, you know, both ways. So,
yeah.
You know, the only thing you can do is continue to play, you know, clean hands, you know, work your technique and just be you. I feel like when it comes to changing things up, I feel like you're making new things. And the main thing we can't do here is make things up. So I haven't changed nothing a bit. I'm just going to make it a little bit harder on the referees to make those tough decisions and have them make the call.
I love that.
I love that. That's awesome.
Shaq, you and your brother kind of got things cranking down in Orlando at UCF. I had a chance to cover him a couple seasons ago and seeing what he can do off the edge. But UCF has grown, and they may be the best team for a couple of years in the state of Florida. We've seen Florida down, Florida State, Miami. What does it take, in your mind, for UCF to get some more respect and possibly get into the playoff, or do you not see that happening?
I feel like now is maybe it's time for UCF to get, you know, bigger names on their schedule. I feel like we started knocking down those big names that have no choice but to respect, you know, the thing we're doing at UCF. You know, I feel like when it comes to blowing teams out and, you know, winning their games, the first thing they rely on is, oh, it's because of the conference they're in. It's because of the competition. Well, when it's time to start putting bigger names on our schedule and we do the same thing to them, maybe we'll have a little more respect. And I'm looking forward to the day that they start putting some big names that everybody, you know, continue to, you know, root for, to put them on our schedule so we can see the things that we can do to them. And I feel like that's what it's going to take. You know, and I feel like one day it will come, and I hope everybody else be ready for it.
Yeah. No, the problem is, Shaq, that you guys are so good, none of them teams want to play.
No, they don't want to get embarrassed by UCF. They're too scared.
Hey, Shaq, go get in a cold tub or whatever it is you do to recover from practice. Appreciate you taking a few minutes hopping on with us. Good luck to you and obviously to your twin brother as well, being a Tampa, having a twin down in Tampa. I feel the love down there for you guys. So appreciate you hopping on, and good luck to you.
Thank you, man. Appreciate you guys again.
Be well. Shaq Griffin, Seattle Seahawks cornerback on our Tiki and Tierney training camp two-a-days. Now, they're in an interesting spot, Seattle, because, you know, Pete Carroll, he's old. He doesn't project it at all. Russell Wilson just got paid to be the starting quarterback. He deserves it because he is literally in the MVP conversation every year, even if people don't want to acknowledge that he's there as good as he is every single season. But they got to reinvent a little bit of who they were. It was like all defense and pounding, and we're gonna make you pay as an offense. Now they gotta be balanced now. And I mean, we hope that they're set up for it, but we got to see.
It's going to be interesting because, I mean, their division's tough. I mean, you had the Rams, obviously, team that had a chance to win the Super Bowl last year. You have San Francisco with Garoppolo, and if he's not throwing five picks every day.
But, dude, that's nonsense. You know that's as nonsense as I do.
Yes, that is complete nonsense at the end of the day. I'm just joking, but that's a team that you can see progress with him if he's healthy.
Yeah.
And obviously Arizona, you know, and
just because
knows?
It's different.
Because we just said, I mean, that this offense.
Well, Shaq just said it. He's like, I haven't seen it in a minute.
It's tough to prepare for, and it may take a year for these defensive coordinators to say, okay, we got it now. You know, this college stuff, we'll get it. But year one, it's going to take a couple people a little bit of time to figure out how to stop it, how to stop an athlete like Kyler, who is not just good getting out of the pocket, but he's a dang good passer from within the pocket as well. So it's a very unique conference. I think it's a very good division, a lot of good teams, and you don't want to be ancient. You don't want to be that old school offense. They got to step it up. So we'll see that. He talked about the dynamic between Russell and DK Metcalf. That's a big physical receiver that can go down the field and make some big explosive plays.
Yeah, he's just got to learn how to run some routes. We'll get to it. We know that college football has had some problems and some controversies, but their biggest one we might not have addressed yet. We'll hit it next on the other side of this break. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is brought to you by GEICO. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Tiki and Tierney here on CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. D-Cell, you're engaged now. You're going to get married sometime soon, I think so. You should probably dump this song from your your library.
Why is that?
I mean, OPP?
Why?
I mean, come on, D-Cell. You didn't think about it, did you?
Just not yet, though. He's not married yet.
No, he is. He's like basically already married. I'm embarrassing him right now because his fiance, I almost said girl, his fiance watches us. And I got to meet her. Come on, D-Cell.
When are we going to arrange that?
I don't just have her come in.
Just have all the wives come in. We'll go have
drinks.
Party.
Yeah. Let's have a drinks after the show. We can go right around the corner. It's a great little bar. Actually, either way,
we're in New York City. There's bars everywhere.
Let's do that. Let's set that up when I come back from vacation. Yeah, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Tiki Barber, Aaron Murray here. So we were talking in inbounds and out of bounds about selling alcohol at college games. And I think one of the benefits is it'll get people in the stadium, right? Yeah. You're not going to just go and just sit and sweat like crazy in 80 to 90 degree heat if you're in the South and, you know, game stinks. You're like, God, I wish I could leave. Or at least I could have a beer. Oh, I can't have a beer. They don't serve alcohol here, right? So at least it changes that, like, it changes that feeling in stadium. Because one of the big issues, and we're seeing this in all sports, is the decreasing number of people going to the games. NASCAR, I mean, they talk about some of these venues that have like 200,000 seats. And they're getting like 50,000 fans again. And it's weird. I mean, it's a socioeconomic thing as well. But there's also something else going on. The same thing is happening in Major League Baseball. For example, Progressive Field with the Cleveland Indians. Their capacity in the mid-90s was 42,000. Now it's 34,000. So they've moved out like seats and created these open spaces, standing areas, bars, etc., because people just aren't going at the mm-hmm. same clip. And now college football is falling into the same, the same hole a little bit. And it's odd to me because college football was like the thing. I mean, Tennessee had 100 and what was it, like 10?
Yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah, 102, 103.
Whatever, it was ridiculous. I feel like less than a decade ago, or maybe a little bit more than a decade ago, it was like a race to see who could build the biggest stadium. And now college football is turning into, all right, we got to be smart and economical about how big our stadiums are because they're not going to be filled. Like, what's happening with college football?
Well, you can fill them up. So I think it's been 7 of the last 8 years you've seen numbers go down right now. And this is the lowest it's been in 30 years for the attendance. It's crazy. And you would think people, like you said, people love college football. They love their team. They love where they went to school. They're going to go and fill these seats. But I think number one issue, there's a lot of issues.
Yeah.
Number one issue is the fact that these games, so if you have 7 home games, 3 of your home games are against teams you don't even know who the mascot is. You're showing up and like, we're playing who today?
That's a great point.
Like, I don't even know who their coaches. I don't know if they have any good players. So like, why do I want to spend an entire day driving there, paying for tickets where ticket sales, that's number two, ticket sales are through the roof. For not mm-hmm. just for you, your wife, your kids, their kids' friends.
To
watch a game where the starters are going to play 2 quarters and then the backups are going to play the rest of the game because it's a blowout. So literally 3 of your 7 home games are blowouts. And it's just the competition's not there. So I think at the end of the day, if you build it, they will come. If you have better football games, and I'm talking about the SEC here, because Pac-12 and Pac-12 numbers have gone down. They're, I think, mm-hmm. 3,000 down from last year or 2 years ago in attendance. You need that 9th game. And Nick Saban said the other day, we'll play 9 SEC games and give us a 10th game against a Power 5 school. I say 9 SEC games, 2 games against other big schools. If everyone's on the same playing field, then no one has an advantage at the end of the day, and people are going to show up to those games. They will. People don't want to go show up when Georgia plays Louisiana Tech. They don't want to go watch that game, so you're losing money. So sell the alcohol. And better games, plain and simple.
Let me ask you this, because I think this might be one of the reasons also. Because of the way the college football playoff is set up right now, there's 4 teams, and then we said this yesterday, you basically know 3 of the 4 now.
It's
you know what I mean?
At least 2 of them are set.
At least 2 of them are set, looking at their schedule, and obviously Alabama and Clemson, we know what we're talking about. But just say, for instance, Georgia. We'll pick Georgia because you're a proud Georgia alum. You're a Bulldog. We do know you're a mascot. We beat you in the Peach Bowl. My last year was awesome, too, by the way. Awesome. Kickoff return at the end of the game.
Did you? What?
Yeah. Dude, you go. It's amazing. I'll show you in the break. But so say Georgia, who everybody expects to be in competition to win the SEC. You know, even if they lose to Alabama in the SEC championship, if they're there, they're going to be there. But what if they lose like week 3, right? Huh. And all of a sudden, the national championship hype for the Georgia Bulldogs is just gone.
Do you think that has an effect? And say it's not Georgia. Say it's, you know, some other school that's just outside, like Michigan. Does that matter? You know what I mean?
I think it does.
Because you're so focused on, man, the only way we're winning a national championship is getting into that Final Four. And if we don't get, if we're out of the Final Four, then I guess the games are cool if it's a rivalry. But yeah, I don't really care.
But if you have big games, people are still going to go show up to see it. I think regardless, say Florida and Georgia are, when they play each other midway of the season, say both those schools in Jacksonville are playing in Jacksonville, mm-hmm. and both teams are 500, which neither team should be 500 this year. But we'll say both teams are.
Yeah.
That stadium will still be packed because it's such a great game, great rivalry, and it means so much to both states. So even if Georgia played Auburn or Alabama played Auburn, Alabama played LSU, if both teams are mediocre, the stadium's still going to be packed.
Yeah, because of the rivalry.
Because of the rivalry, because of the game. So if you add some more of those games in there, even if, say, Georgia loses, and they shouldn't, their first two games, and or even three games, say they're 2-1 mm-hmm. or 1-2 heading to play Notre Dame, week 4 in Athens, that stadium is going to be packed regardless of the records.
Yeah.
I think good games will trump records at the end of the day.
Do you buy the... And I mentioned this kind of flippantly, the 70-inch TV on my wall. I got a cooler or a refrigerator full of beer right here. If the game stinks, I can just turn it, right? I don't. If I'm not a full fan, then I'm likely not to go because it's easier to be home. You know what I mean?
If you're not a full fan, though, but I think college football is filled with fanatics. So I think more people, you know,
yeah,
being
at really
a game.
I don't really buy that one either.
Being
but
a
that's,
game.
You've heard that.
Being at a game is special. At a college football game is a different experience than just sitting on your TV at home on your couch watching on TV. So I think it's better, but I can get the point of, you know, I can sit on my couch. I don't have to fight traffic. I don't have to pay crazy prices. And you look at these games nowadays, I mean, there's cameras all over the place. There's the sky cam. There's the end zone cams. There's the booger cam on the sideline going up and back.
I mean, oh, they did away with that because it was blocking people's view.
Was it the camera or was it booger blocking the view?
Both.
So, I mean, there's cameras everywhere. So you get every angle like you're there. I mean, pretty soon you're going to have 3D goggles and it's going to be like you're at the stadium. So I get that too, but I do think there are enough people that want to be on campus too. I mean, you get to go back and be on a beautiful campus.
Good point.
Some of these campuses are awesome.
Yeah, especially if you're an alum and you miss it and you have a nostalgia. There's a digital revolution that's coming. This is just in my thought. At some point, all of us have digital partners, CBS, Fox, et cetera. We all have digital partners. At some point, you're going to be able to sit at home on your device, whatever it may be, and pick the camera you want to watch. It's going to be...
No, what you're going to be doing is you're going to be able to pick where you want to sit in the stands.
That's a good point.
You're going to put your goggles on. You're going to be at the 50-yard line, 10 rows up.
Yeah. Not in the stands, but in the booth. Yeah. One of our greats, Tony Romo, our lead NFL analyst, is going to join us on the other side of the break. Tony has seamlessly transitioned from the field where he had a heck of a career to the booth. We'll talk to him next. Tiki Barber, Aaron Murray here on CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, and it is a pleasure, a distinct one, to have our colleague on the phone, Tony Romo, CBS lead football analyst alongside Jim Nance every Sunday afternoon during the football season. Tony, welcome to the show. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Appreciate you guys having me.
No, it's awesome. It's awesome to have you. Look, you made this transition, because I haven't talked to you yet since you've made the transition, more seamlessly than anyone I've known. Why was it so easy for you to just step into this side of the game and analyze it the way a lot of people haven't been able to do as clearly as you have?
I appreciate you saying that. Making me blush a little bit here. But I think, more than anything, it's just, you know, I don't think it was easy as much as I did a ton of practice games and evaluated. It's like anything, right? It's like, let's pretend it's a golf swing. If you're looking at it, you're like, okay, let me look at this. This does not look like Tiger Woods, so we got a long way to go. And so, you know, as I sat and evaluated and looked, I mean, the first time I did a practice game, I rewatched it, and I was looking at it, and I'm like, gosh, you know, I thought I was just talking normal and it was going to be enjoyable. And I'm watching, and I'm like, this is like Bueller from Ferris Bueller. Bueller. I mean, it was so boring. I was like, God, I can't stand it. I'm going to be terrible. So then you start to just trial and error, riff a little bit, and then watch it and evaluate it, and then be like, well, I would like this more than this. So hopefully people will, you know. And then you start to find your voice and what you like. And then it's just football after that. You just talk about it.
So what's your week like? So I'm doing the same thing as you are, just on a smaller scale, doing college football. I'm not doing the primetime NFL games like you, and I'm a big fan And it's funny, we're at the seminars. Everyone's like, you know, if you want to get better at this job, just go, you know, go watch Tony Romo films. So I actually had them send me a bunch of your games to go watch this offseason, and I applaud you. It is really good stuff. But I want to pick, this is for me selfishly here, what is your game week look like? Is this similar to what you would do in the NFL preparing for a game? Is it a lot of film, reading articles? Kind of break it down for us a little bit.
Yeah, it's a good question. And I think for me, it's similar in one way and completely not similar almost everything else. One way was like, we're going to watch film, right? We're going to sit down and watch the team. I always thought the more interesting side of football, you know, from a viewing perspective, was the chess match going on. And if you really think about it, there's millions of them. There's not just one chess match. It's literally, you know, how the defensive coordinator is going to attack the quarterback. We get that part of it. But how about, how is the quarterback going to change the protection? And how did the defensive coordinator adjust within the game from the first half to the second half because of how the quarterback adjusted a protection in the first half? And then it's the matchup of the slot, you know, receiver against the nickel corner, and how he uses his hands early in the game to make him think of this, and then that moves and changes later in the game. And so I'm constantly just trying to figure out, before the week gets to the game, how these teams are winning football games. Because usually what happens is most of the NFL is very similar. A lot of the teams are, you know, it's parity. It's like you could replace, you know, 50% of the guys and the teams are pretty much the same. But then you got to go, is it scheme that helps this team? Is it the quarterback being special? Is it a defensive lineman who just, you know, busts through double teams Aaron Donald? I mean, what really allows this team to separate and win football games? And then from there you start to analyze and start to get comfortable with, you know, the film and what you're watching that's important, I guess. So you're almost trying to just figure out what the outcomes are going to come down to. And then I like to just talk about it a lot and try and make it fun.
Tony Romo, CBS Football's lead analyst, alongside Jim Nance, is joining us here on Tiki and Tierney. Let's jump to the football side, Tony. Look, I have a unique distinction with you, because in the game that you first took over for Drew Bledsoe was against the New York Giants. He got sacked like four times or three times in the first half. He threw an interception right before Sam Madison came out at halftime, and then trots out Tony Romo in the second half to start his career. A long career. You had 13 years with the Dallas Cowboys, 11 of them. As a starter, 10 and a half, I should say, as a starter. You know, your football career, it's interesting, because some people will knock you on it. A lot of people who are informed will laud you on it. How do you view your playing career?
Yeah, I'm not big into the nostalgic aspect of things, I guess. You know, you're always moving on. But, you know, I view it, people have asked me this question before, you know, maybe not quite as articulate as you just did. Well done there, by the way, Cheek. But I think
appreciate you, Tony. More than anything,
I feel like I got lucky. And when I say that, I mean, some people, like you said, oh, you didn't have this, or you could have caught a break with this, you could have da da. And I'm like, you know, in life, it's hard. I know real life is, you know, my grandparents, my dad growing up. I mean, just that's real life. I mean, this is fake world we live in, and I feel like the fact that I got to play quarterback, do that, and get to do something you love. Wins, losses, I mean, all of it. You look back and you enjoy. Just, you know, you wish you'd won the Super Bowl and accomplished your ultimate goal. But the fact that, you know, I didn't accomplish that would be, you know, the only thing that I feel like, you know, I feel like I wasn't able to bring to the city and the people here. But everything else, I feel like, man, I was fortunate to have been given so much stuff. I mean, that's literally how I think of it, not – I never look back and be like, man, I got screwed and blah, blah, blah. It's like, that's just not realistic. I mean, yeah. I know how fortunate I am.
Yeah, I mean, football is a team game. And even if you could be the greatest and you never get a chance. Look, and it could have been as bad as mine, Tony. I decided to retire and the Giants won a Super Bowl. So we know how this all works.
Bad timing.
But look, you're already, talking about moving forward, you're already excelling at your second career, just like you did in your first career. But you also have this like side thing with the golfer. Is there anything that you aren't good at that you try?
I'm terrible at bowling. I mean, it's really good. I'm trying. I'm like, I'm not even going to try. This is just terrible. I think golf is really fun, not unlike broadcasting or quarterbacking, in that the more knowledge you have, you can really gain advantages on your opponents, I guess you could say. as a quarterback, if you knew a defensive system, well, what beats that defensive system? Well, if you know all the defensive systems and what is more likely to succeed versus it, and you can get your team into those type of plays at the line of scrimmage, or you can have it called, you know, with multiple plays before, you know, and can you evaluate who's coming and who's not based on mannerisms, the structure behind it? I mean, all these things give you advantage. Well, it's the same in broadcasting and same in golf.
Yeah.
Like in golf, it's been really fun for the last year and, I don't know, I'd say 18 months now. When I started off, I look at the swing and it's laughable because, you know, I was like, I'm pretty decent. I'm terrible. You know, that was the realistic side.
Same in broadcasting.
You got to go find the things that actually make the difference. Like, what are the things that actually make the difference? So, like, in broadcasting, like, what do people actually think makes the difference between them liking you mm-hmm. or not liking you on air? It could be, like, you could do a perfect game, but it's, like, if it's not likable, does it really matter? You know, it's,
great
like,
point.
You know, it has to be a little bit like that. There's an artistry to it that's about them and how they think. And so when I learned that, that kind of helped open up about what I'm trying to find. That's the secret to, like, getting better at this. Well, it may not be these other things other people thought. Golf's the same way. You got to go find it.
Yeah, no, that's deep. I mean, that applies to life. It applies to business. It applies to anything. Tony Romo, CBS NFL analyst, our lead NFL analyst, is joining us here on Tiki and Tierney.
Tony, I want to jump back into the football stuff a little bit. I remember watching you and almost a magician in the pocket, you could say. I mean, you'd get out of some situations. You're like, how did he do that? Get set up, find a guy down the field. And we're seeing more and more nowadays almost the new era of quarterback is very similar. It doesn't have to be a guy that runs a 4-4, but can you extend plays? Can you be like a Baker Mayfield? Is this something that we're going to see more going in the future? And is this what coaches are looking for, too, when they're about to draft a quarterback?
Well, the game is evolved. It's a great question, and I think that the reality is if you have that, you know, the sixth sense or whatever you want to call it, to me it's called spatial awareness, your ability to basically see angles very quickly. And when I say that, it's like not just a guy's going to be open, but like you could tell based on the first step as you're dropping back to pass, your eyes are downfield. People are like, oh, he felt that guy in his rush. And I'm like, he felt him, but I'm pretty sure the awareness, the subconscious, literally felt that guard's first movement and felt the weight of the D-tackle was going opposite. And that feeling showed you he's going to rush inside. Not that you're staring at him, but you slide and move over here, reset the pocket and fire from a new spot. Well, that just helped your offensive line. That's that spatial awareness that I call that, like Brady really has been saved in the pocket. And then, you know, obviously your ability to throw football is another big one. And then it's like your knowledge and how much you love the game and want to understand it is another one. But if you have that ability, Patrick Mahomes, Brett Favre, you know, that thing that you see guys do things and you're like, boy, that's different. Well, those guys, it's hard to beat them because they can just see it faster, feel it faster, and they get that ball to people before, you know, other guys do. And I think right now in the NFL, you're seeing as many guys have that as, you know, I can remember. And that's what makes the game amazing when you have a ton of great quarterbacks, because now you don't know who's going to win. When you had four great quarterbacks and then a bunch of average and then not very good, it was pretty easy to tell who's going to win each week. And now I think there's 10, 12 guys that can – you know, really compete with the number one or two guy.
Now, one of the other things that you're good at, Tony, is acting, as you do in your Corona Extra commercials. You and Corona Extra are teaming up again to do the Corona Extra Game Day Hotline. It's 844-1-844-9-CORONA. Tell us a little bit about this. And if you win, one of these prizes is down near Aaron's hometown, Clearwater Beach. Tell us about this promotion you guys have going on.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Well, first off, I'm not a good actor, but that was I think, you know, last year we did Corona. We had the Corona Hotline. It was a success. So they brought it back, and like you said, it's 1-844-9-CORONA. But it's really just me getting on there and kind of talking about football, and then giving like pep talks for your fantasy football team, and a lot of kind of silly, stupid stuff that hopefully I don't regret. But I think really it's just personality. It's a good partnership with Corona. I drink Corona. You know, I've loved it, especially when I'm in Mexico or watching a game. And part of a good partnership. And I think it'll be fun. You can win some prizes and enjoy as you call the hotline.
I like it. Tony Romo, lead CBS football analyst, is joining us here on Tiki and Tierney. Tony, we got to ask you about the Dallas Cowboys. You're very close with Jerry Jones, Stephen Jones as well. I remember we've talked to Stephen a couple years ago, and he was talking about having barbecues and hanging out, drinking beers with you. I was like, man, that's a great owner-player relationship. So you know them well, and you know their mindset and what they have to be thinking right now with three of their offensive stars needing to get paid in some capacity. How do they handle this, and what's the effect if Ezekiel Elliott continues this holdout and potentially goes into the season?
Yeah, I think there's a few things that come, you know, just thinking when you say that. One, Jerry and Steven are going to get all these guys signed. And they're not going anywhere. So I think people can, you know, Cowboy fans can relax there that it's just part of what they've done for a long, long time. It's part of, you know, the negotiating part. I think the Zeke one probably was a little bit sooner than they envisioned something like this would happen. Mm-hmm. I think that's why it's a little bit more shocking. That one's going to be a coin flip, I think, whether it gets done before week one. There's a chance that that could play into the season. But as far as signing them, they'll sign all of them. And then from there, I mean, I think that part of this thing that keeps going on about the money you're going to pay is a good thing. In other words, that means they drafted well. They evaluated talent really well.
Great point.
So everyone says it's a negative, and I'm like, you guys don't understand. This means they did their job. Everyone did great in picking these players and trading for this player who's you want to pay. So when you have all this, that's a good problem. This problem came about also, I mean, they didn't put their resources in the salary cap to linebackers throughout, you know, most of the time I was there, even in. And then all of a sudden they got Jalen Smith and Van Der Esch and you got Sean Lee, and all of a sudden, you know, each position, you have a plan that puts a percentage of, you know, your salary cap into these position groupings, and you try and stick within that. Well, you have to have higher ones and lower ones. That's just part of the game. Well, the linebacking crew was one of the lower ones. Now that's going to be way up.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to have to take that from somewhere else. A percentage of the salary cap is going to be moved from somewhere else, and that's a big decision. But that's just because they keep drafting good players. And, you know, it's a good problem to have. You're going to lose a good player once in a while, but that's because you drafted a lot of good ones.
Tony, you've played with some characters over your time, running back, receivers, some prima donnas here or there. Derek Carr's with an interesting receiver at the moment. What words of advice would you give to him with AB? And now we have another story coming out today with him as well. If I'm Derek Carr, what are you saying to me? How to handle AB and all of his antics off the field?
Yeah, I think the number one thing you do is they're going to respect honesty, and they're going to respect I don't want to say loyalty, but they're going to respect you being honest with them, and they're going to respect you. I mean, the loyalty side of it's kind of how I felt. Like, if you have a receiver who's kind of has what, you know, you just described there in Antonio, I think what you're going to want to do is you're going to have to be a little bit sterner than you are with some of the other guys, but not in a way that's ever negative or makes them feel negative. So you basically want to pull them aside and be like, listen, I'm not going to say this in front of anybody else, but I need you now. These guys aren't going to be able to do it if you're not. I can't get on them if I, you know, can't get on you and be like, I know you're the best receiver out here. I know you're the best receiver in the league. But between me and you right now, this is, we got to go to work. It's time.
Yeah.
And he's going to, but you're not demeaning him in front of people. And you're also, you know, and then when he's out there, you're like, look at Brad, he's amazing. And you guys are best friends. Everything. But when you're with him and you're talking, you're a little bit sterner than just being like, whatever, I got your back. He will respect you because you are honest with him and direct, and they're very smart. I mean, they know what's going on. Everyone's trying to manipulate them left and right, and so they just want someone who's got their back, but not just randomly. It's got to be in the best interest of them and you and the team.
If you want advice like this, call up Tony on the Corona hotline, Corona Extra, 844-9-CORONA. Tony, really appreciate you hopping on with us for a little bit. I remember 3 or 4 years ago, randomly ran into you and Charles Barkley and Sean Payton at the Final Four and in Indianapolis. That was really the first time I got to hang out with you. I was like, man, I kind of like this guy, even though he's the enemy. Tony, I appreciate you. Continued success, my friend.
Yeah, you too, T. Appreciate you guys. Good luck, Aaron.
Tony Romo, CBS lead football analyst. He's amazing. He got into the predictive game. It's easier for him because he's a quarterback and he's used to seeing these things. There's some breaking news that just came down a few minutes ago, actually. Dale Earnhardt Jr. and his family were in a small plane crash. It looks like they all are okay. Earnhardt has been transported to the hospital, but he was on with his wife and his baby, but they all have gotten off the plane okay. So that's a blessing for sure. Those things, private planes, they're great, but they always scare me. Don't love them. Five preseason games tonight, but we'll spotlight a couple that are catching our eye. More importantly, why those couple matter. Tiki and Tierney, Tiki along with Aaron Murray, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.